Welcome everyone to the Northern Affinity video podcast. So I'm Michael Edwards. I am the founder of the Northern Affinity. Thank you very much for joining today's discussion. Well, we'll go to our expert that we are speaking to very, very soon. But I also want to give you an update on what the purpose of this conversation is. So for me, there's twofold, really. Firstly, it's for you and I to learn something from the person that we are speaking to get new ideas, to stimulate thought. That's a great start for me. But secondly, for me, which is a big passion of mine, is to give a platform to the person I'm speaking to. It's an opportunity for really, really good people who are doing really, really good things to demonstrate that and for you to hopefully see that. So, and now that the kind of overall, all our contributors are these type of people, are small business owners, people are doing things for good. So please, if you could follow and subscribe, whether you're watching this as a video on YouTube or you're listening via your various podcast platforms, please do subscribe. Listen to our other contributors. There's been some fantastic discussions we've had in the past, and I'm sure we will have in the future. So thank you very much. I'm delighted to say now the video podcast is sponsored by Leeds Beckett University and their Help to Grow management training program. If you have a business, an SME that has between 5 and 250 employees, and you're looking at something to help you and your business grow, I would advise looking at this. It's 90% funded. It's a fantastic opportunity for so many people. The program's open now, so please do check it out, and I'll put all the details in the show notes. Enjoy the discussion. So welcome everyone to the latest edition of the video podcast. I'm first delighted to say I'm joined by Rosie today. And as people can see, if you're watching as a video, if you've read the notes, we're going to talk about adversity today and specifically running a business in the face of bits of adversity. And we're going to get to find out a little bit about Rosie's story. So welcome, first of all, Rosie. Thank you for joining us.
That's all right. Thanks for having me. I'm grateful to be here.
Oh, no. Pleasure's all mine. Do you want to tell us a little bit about you and your business and what you're doing now first before we kind of go on to the, I guess, a bit of the backstory?
Yeah. Well, I'm Rosie Russell. I'm a painter and decorator, evolving into more creative decorating. So that's what I do, really. I do a variety of things, painting and decorating, involving wallpapers, but I'm evolving it. I'm doing more abstract murals and do furniture finishing, all kinds of artistic, creative, skilled, from restoration all the way through to fine finishers.
Well, so, by the sound of it, Rosie, you've got all the skills that I don't, which is anything creative, visual. I am about as useless as it gets when it comes to this. So you've got all the skills I definitely don't. But anyway, we're going to talk today. Obviously, this is a bit of the back kind of story. It's a little bit about running a business in the face of adversity. Now, I'm sure anyone who's run a business, there's challenges that throw up at all times, some that can get navigated on a daily basis, some bigger things. We all go through that and different things. But, the reason I wanted to have this discussion now, so I first came about Rosie and her story, I don't know, quite a while ago now, a few months ago, and I thought it was a really interesting subject to talk about. So you can tell a lot better than I can, Rosie, so I'll be quiet and I'll let you. Do you want to kind of give you a bit of a backstory to you and the circumstances that kind of lead into this?
Well, right. I've got rather a long story. So the first time I started painting and decorating was over 20 years ago. I decided to go to painting and decorating college. I had PTSD at the time and two small children. I was a single mum. I'd had a horrible incidents happened to me. And so I was doing an art and design course at the time, and because I couldn't concentrate and I was drinking because I had post-traumatic stress disorder and depression and everything, I got really ill with something else and I was housebound. And so I painted my bedroom and I thought, actually, I really enjoy this. And I thought, right, well, I'm finding art and design a bit difficult at the time, so I think I'm going to change to a paint and decorating course because it wasn't as many hours. And I just enjoyed it, and I thought it'd be easier for me to concentrate and I'd have more time with my children, etc. So I went to do that. Moving on, a good few years later, I had I already had two children. Then I got in a relationship and it was abusive. I didn't realise at the time, but it turned out to be domestic abuse, which is quite a complex thing to happen and different for lots of different people, but essentially the same thing. It's control, whether it's, you know, what physical, it's all physical. It could be sexual, it could just be financial, it's all mental. So anyway, after this, I escaped from this. It's a long story, so I'll try and calm down because you can get a bit triggered. So basically what happened is I moved from Yorkshire to Bristol without two of my children because they went to live with their dad because they were older. So I thought, to keep us all safe, I need to move far away. So I left two children. So I went to Bristol without two of my children, just one, and had post-traumatic stress again and depression. But when I got here, I thought, I'm going to run out of money pretty quickly and I need to go and see my other two children. That's my main thing, and I want to provide for myself. I want to be independent, so I set up my own painting and decorating business. I was very scared. I was scared to even go and do a quote, never mind go and do a job. I didn't know how to do quotes. I had to make that up. So basically just dive straight in with all this going on and a small child, probably three by then, and she was traumatized as well. So you can imagine, like, there's all this stuff going on in my head, my body. I'm just jumping into something. Physically, I'd done paint and decorating before, but I'd not done any other customer skills or anything like that. So yeah, I just dived in and started doing it. Me and my daughter went around with leaflets, posting them at people's doors. That was the first thing we did. And the first job I got was with a friend, needed his flat painting to rent out. Yeah, and it just went from there, really.
First of all, before I kind of ask any more questions, I think, you know, to talk about this is very brave. You know, I can only speak from kind of listening to that, and I don't have that experience, so I can't imagine what that's like to go through. And so kind of on behalf of anyone listening to this, kind of say thank you for doing that, because I can imagine it's not easy at all. So I think being able to do that, you know, is really, really brave. So well done to you and to be in that situation. And obviously, I know you've given us a relatively brief kind of overview of there, and I'm sure there's a lot more to go. But that's I guess the context for this discussion, really. I'm sure you agree that there's different types of adversity for all of us, probably on varying degrees, and that's not to trivialise any type of adversity, because hopefully what probably you've learned is lessons that anybody can take, you know, no matter how serious is the right word for the adversity has been. But so yeah, firstly, well done, and you know, I really appreciate definitely you speaking about this. So I guess the first question I'd ask is about the lessons that you've learned from that and coming out of a situation which is obviously really, really tough and adversity. What lessons have you learned about, I guess, yourself, and but also about business?
I'm very determined. What have I learned about myself and about business? I've just learned that you just keep trying. You just, whatever it is, just keep trying and just find ways to do it and just always problem solve and have new ideas and talk to different people and learn new things and put yourself in uncomfortable situations. Just be yourself, be honest. Just talk about whatever you want. Just just do stuff.
You know what? I think you brought up a really important lesson in when you were kind of giving us the backstory there, and you said how you kind of didn't really know what to do, but just went for it. Essentially, is kind of what you said. And I think there's a massive merit in this, and probably something that speaks to me as an overthinker type of a person that I am. Kind of work through every scenario before I do something is kind of my natural inclination, and it's something I've definitely got better at. It sounds like something you are very, very good at is just go for it and working it out as you go along. That can be really, really difficult. But, you know, none of us know everything. And it sounds like you did that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's what I did. And that's how I am. That's how I do things. And that's how I've made lots of mistakes. But I don't mind. And I don't mind that I make mistakes. And I still dive in and still do stuff. And obviously, like everybody, I might sometimes get a bit, ooh, what if I do this? Or should I do this first? But I still do stuff, I think. And that's probably is my strength.
100%. And I think now you've picked up another really, really important lesson as well, is how you look at mistakes or failure, you know, whatever you want to call it. Again, you know, I know personally, my natural inclination is to hate the thought of failing or making mistakes. Yeah. But if you're going to have that attitude, you're never going to get anywhere, are you? It's all right. It's all right to make mistakes and fail. And that's I think you said that's how you learn. So if someone's listening to this who maybe either is very early stages of the business or hasn't started, and what kind of advice would you give them in terms of their thinking about failure and mistakes and kind of based on your experiences?
Just have a go, just do it. Obviously you've got to find out about certain stuff, which goes without saying, like, and you learn as you go along. But if you just start and you just start somewhere, then you've started. And I guess it's like what they say about, because if you can think about doing stuff and then not do it, so if you just start it, and maybe what I've learned lately from other people I've listened to as well is have a goal. That can be a driving factor, can't it? And then I've learned another thing as well, like some people work better under threat, like, oh, I must get this done because, this, you know, this is urgent. So there's lots of different ways, isn't there, really? And just try and learn and keep getting involved and do different things and just keep improving yourself and learning.
100%. You know, it can be tough, but I think it doesn't probably make those situations where you do fail or make mistakes any easier. But as long as you go in with them with the attitude of, you know, I'll learn the lesson and make it better next time, it just makes it a positive experience rather than a negative experience, I guess.
Yeah, I find it quite exciting just going in and knowing and not minding if I've made a mistake or it's not perfect. Obviously, if it's something like wallpaper, I'll really make sure that I'm not going to make a mistake. But, you know, with things like a lot of other things, like obviously if you're doing a job, you've got to make sure it's perfect and good. But just to not mind if you do make mistakes and just go into it. I don't think I've got a massive problem with that, to be honest.
No, that's great. And you can tell that from what you're saying. One thing I was really interested to ask you as well, I think probably just about anybody who runs their own business, the whole work-life balance thing is a challenge to a certain degree. Now, for yourself, obviously, the kind of circumstances that you told us about earlier, I would imagine that's probably tougher than potentially most of us experience. I'd be really interested to know kind of any thoughts you've got on making sure, you know, that keeping your work and your personal life as a separate entity to it as much as you can, and how you kind of manage all that stuff, because, you know, people with young kids, all that kind of stuff, there's challenges for a lot of people. So it'd be interesting to know your kind of experiences on that.
It's been really challenging, to be honest, all the way from the beginning. We've had so many challenges, like aftermath, and then with my daughter in school and just the whole story. That's why I find being self-employed really helpful, because you can kind of move stuff if you need to. What I started doing as well is, for obviously because I'd not done that before, I worked for myself like that. I was working too much and then not having enough time with my child, and then we were already under a lot of stress, so that didn't help. So then I learned to give myself space in between jobs, and now, even now, 13 years later, I'm still adjusting, and that's the big word that I wanted to say, actually. Just keep adjusting and prioritize, make lists. Yeah, give yourself space and time. You've got to look after yourself, your family, and also you've got to serve your clients as well. But make sure you're always giving yourself time for the other jobs, and not cramming in too much physical work, for example, and not giving yourself enough time to do the other things, like this podcast, for example, like giving yourself a day for this, and then you can fit in your other paperwork or other tasks you want to get done in between this. Just look after yourself. I've started going to the gym a little bit. Just lots of different ways. It's just all about looking after your own mental health, your physical health, your families, and balancing it out.
I think you make a really important point there, and I'm sure in your circumstances it probably is extenuated further than most of us, but the importance of some being kind to yourself, looking after yourself, because that if you're not looking after yourself, you know, your business is going to suffer, relationships, family, your health, all those type of things, which is a knock-on effect, isn't it? It's, you know, again, using an example with children, if you've got kids there, if you're always stressed and snappy with them, that's not helping them, and you need to do that. So I guess kind of how important have you found that it is to look after yourself, and kind of any kind of thoughts, things that you do to kind of do that and then help yourself?
Massively. I think that's number one. And not in a selfish way, but I think you really do need to look after yourself and do things. Like, I'm still evolving now. I'm still adjusting now. I've started to do a bit of art. I've started paying for a coach, transformational coach. That's amazing. I forgot what the original question was now.
Not looking after yourself.
Yeah, looking after yourself. So I just give myself space and time and rest. That's a big one. Make sure you're getting good sleep, enough sleep. Make sure you eat well. But rest is really important. Even if it's just having a cup of tea and having half an hour and not doing anything, or anything that you enjoy, that you love. I love chilling, but, you know, it's just anything that that's giving you, like you said, that kindness and that time and fun as well. Like, I've learned from my coaching recently, just make everything fun. Like, oh, I've got a written quote to do. Oh, let's make it a fun written quote, you know? It's all looking after yourself, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it's really interesting you mentioned there about having a coach. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that and kind of the benefits. I don't know how much you've done of that, but what benefits have you found for you?
Oh, massive benefits. I've probably been having it for about a month. He gave me 2 sessions to start off with because he wanted to decide whether I was somebody he wanted to work with. And then I joined a group with him, and then decided to pay for some one-to-one. And it's just a huge change. I think it changes your mindset. So I'm actually doing things that I wanted to do for a long time that I were craving, like art and things to do in my business. And I've actually started doing it. And before I was, oh no, it's too much, or I'm not as organized. I've possibly got ADHD, I'm told. Even if I have, I've not got the official diagnosis, but you know, I've still made progress. It's a little bit like a magic wand, definitely. If you've got a bit of money, even if you only got enough to have a little bit, just definitely worth investing, because you can put that on your business as well, can't you? So you can use that as an expense.
Absolutely. I think it almost feels like you've got kind of another member of your team, if you like. And
yeah,
it doesn't have to be literally in terms of a business sense, does it? And it can be just in life, but another somebody helping and supporting and part of the team that's helping you get through things and things be better. And you know, obviously you've gone down a relatively formal route with a coach, but you know, something I would say to anyone is it doesn't have to be formal. If you can't afford it or whatever, mm-hmm. it's not something for you. It can be you and a friend, or you and a colleague, or a couple of colleagues, or whatever it might be. The benefits of kind of almost coaching each other. I guess this is, there's certain things where you need a professional, obviously, but I'm talking kind of the general, should we say the day-to-day stuff. Just having someone else as almost a cheerleader and part of the team is really beneficial.
Yeah, I agree. I think you could do that. You could actually say to your friends or somebody else who's in small business and say, because for years I felt like I needed something else. I needed that somebody else, but I didn't know what it was or how I could get it. So you could do that. You could say, and then you'd find out somebody else needs that other person in their business. And it's just like what you said, just to talk things through. And afterwards, your head's in a different place. So you could do that. You could set up a free group. There's lots of different ways, just about thinking about ideas, isn't it?
Absolutely. And sometimes just saying things out loud. I'm sure we're all guilty of this, where we've got things going through our head, and it might be a positive thing, like a new business idea or something like that. And it's amazing how when you say it out loud, you either think, "Oh, what am I talking? That's a silly idea. Why am I doing that?" Or, "Wow, this is a great idea," or whatever it might be. Just sometimes saying the words that are in your head out loud can really, really help. In no matter what the context.
Yeah, it does. I did that every day. I was carrying loads of decorating equipment up and down some stairs, and it was boiling as well. And then on my way back up, I'm like, what's that little saying from the SAS? But always a little bit further. I'm like, always a little bit further, jogging upstairs. And so, yeah, it does help. It's just them little positive things
that 100%. You said to yourself. So to finish off, Rosie, I'm really interested to know, like, obviously you've been through it on, it's definitely a journey that you've been on, and there's been all sorts going on, which we've only basically scratched the surface today. But if you did it all again and you went through that, is there anything that you'd change, any differences you make? And, you know, it's kind of like not from a negative point of view, because, you know, we can't change what happened in the past, but I guess if you're having the time again, is any things and someone else is going through something similar, what you do differently?
Would anybody else differently? I guess I always used to ask for help of different people, but I don't think you can ever ask for too much help. It's a hard one because it was such a difficult time. So it's like looking back and thinking, is there anything else? Because I think I did my best. But to advise to other people is, yeah, just keep asking for help, whoever it is. And if they don't help you, ask somebody else and just keep doing that.
And I think that's a really important point you bring up there is, you know, hindsight is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And we, you know, but it's also almost pointless in a way. You know, like you said, if you're doing the best you can, actually that's good enough. And going back to an earlier point and question we talked about, you know, be kind to yourself, give yourself a pat on the back, you know, just because you're trying, even if there's no results, as it were, give yourself a pat on the back, say well done, but you are trying your best. And if that's what you're doing, then that is all you can do, I guess.
And I think it's just good to connect to people. And I think when you're in mental illness or any anything that's really hard, you can't think properly anyway. I mean, even having a difficult conversation, and you can get triggers, and then you can't, and you think, oh, did I answer them questions properly? So I can't, you know, you're trying to process things in a different way. So it's hard to say, oh, is there something else? So I think my advice would be, just definitely connect with different people and just not be so isolated. Even if you don't realise you are being isolated, just keep doing that.
I think that's fantastic advice, Rosie. Really, really good. And I think, you know, I said this at the start, I'll say again, you know, thank you for taking the time to come and speak to us, and hope, you know, it might help somebody, and that's really appreciated, because I can only imagine it can be challenging at times. So thank you. If anyone wants to find out a bit more about you and what you're doing, whether it's just on a personal level or find out more about your business, where are the best places to kind of go and look and find you?
Well, I guess on social media, I'm most active on Instagram and LinkedIn. So I'm Rosie Russell with an IE, Rosie Russell, and that's LinkedIn. And then on Instagram, I'm on Rose and Black Bristol. It's got a little dot in between, but I'm the only one, Rose and Black Bristol, so I'll come up anyway. And I guess email is info@roseandblack.co.uk. So yeah, anytime, any help, I'm happy to help anybody, so it's fine.
Well, again, thank you, Rosie. Thank you for this conversation. Thank you, and congratulations on all the stuff you're doing. I think it's great. I'll put those details and links into the show notes for this as well, on the podcast and the videos for people, so if they want to find it out. So thank you, Rosie. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You know, it's been really appreciated, and I've, you know, really enjoyed this conversation. I know that people will get something from it, so thank you.
Good. Yeah, thanks a lot. Thank you so much.